I'm going to be sharing the word with you today, and it's going to be a little bit of a storytelling with some scriptures. Is that good? All right. It's a testimony and things that I've actually only learned within the last. So part of this is only within the last 6 months. So it's pretty incredible to see how God directs our steps, how even before we breathed our first breath, even before we were thought of by our parents, how God had plans for us. Isn't that a cool thought? It's a deep thought, right? So what I want to talk about today is something we've heard before. I'm sure Pastor Wes has probably had a couple sermons over the last 26 years about if God said it, I believe it, all right? So say that with me. If God said it, I believe it. All right, good deal. So I want to step back in time about 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, just a little ways back. I want to talk about briefly Joseph. You remember Joseph's story, right? Man, that kid had it so good. He was, we don't want to say he was his father's favorite, but he did have a coat unlike any others, right? And his brothers got a little jealous, right? Remember that whole story. And they were so jealous that they ripped that coat off of him. They threw him in a pit, sold him to be a slave in Egypt. And then you see what God did through that whole period of time. I mean, from the deepest pit. Oh, man, I'm going to a movie line. I'm sorry. We do this in the Martin household. Pit of despair, if you know what movie that's coming from. But he was in the pit of despair. And God, man, it might not have looked like God was working, but think about what happened. I mean, even though he was a slave in Egypt, then he was put in prison, then he was released from prison and elevated to the second highest ruler in Egypt in order to provide for his family in the future. Isn't that incredible? I mean, God had a way of just directing his steps. Not an easy journey, but God made a way to get Joseph where he wanted him to be. Amen? Zacchaeus. All right, now we're fast forwarding a little bit. We're almost up to current day. Zacchaeus. We know Zacchaeus because of the Sunday school song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. All right, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore. How many of you even know what a sycamore tree is? Have you ever seen a sycamore? I knew Trudy would know. All right, a couple of you have seen a sycamore. We would relate them closely to a fig or a mulberry tree around this area, right? Kind of. All right, we need the exact, what's the word I'm looking for? But it's close to that. So we'll kind of picture that, all right? I want you to think about this story about Zacchaeus. Jesus went out of his way to go into Jericho, right? He was traveling through Jericho, and at that time, Zacchaeus heard the crowd yelling out, Jesus, right? Now, think about Zacchaeus. He was one of the most hated and disliked people in Israel. Why? Because he was a tax collector, right? He was viewed as a social and religious outcast because he was cooperating with the Roman government. So the Jews wanted nothing to do with him. So this poor guy, feeling expelled from the Jewish community, hears Jesus is coming to town and wants to see Jesus so badly that he climbs a tree to see Jesus as he's passing through and calls out to him. Now, that's what we know about the story, but can we back up a few decades to when that sycamore tree was first planted as a seed? And think about God's intent behind something so small to create such a big story for somebody that felt insignificant, somebody that felt like they didn't matter to the Jewish community. You with me? God had a plan to get Zacchaeus to the place where he wanted him to be. Isn't that cool? So if I fast forward now a little bit to my life, I just asked my dad, and I'm going to try to say this without crying because, of course, it's Father's Day. I sat down with him a few months ago, and I said, so, Dad, can you tell me your salvation story? And I encourage you, if you are in a Christian family or kids, talk to your parents. If you're adults and your parents are still living and they were Christians, ask them, Find out what it was that took them to the, brought them to the Lord, okay? So I asked my dad, what was it that led him to Christ? So now we go back to World War II. Okay, my father or my grandfather got home with his brother from war. They were in a VFW, and this group of guys walked in with my grandpa's brother's ex-wife. All right. And you can imagine the VFW, probably not the most civil place at the time, okay? And there was a big to-do about this. And they jumped my grandpa and his brother out in the parking lot. My grandpa's brother was slashed with a knife almost completely head to toe. My grandpa got stabbed in the head. And when the paramedics came, all they saw was a bump on his head, thinking he had just was swelling, not that he was actually stabbed. So they sent him home. They just sent him home. Oh, you're good. We'll put a bandage on that. You just got back from World War II. You're good. No, sent him home, and he began having convulsions and seizures and all that. So my grandma called the paramedics again. My dad is like 4 at this time, okay, really young. And the paramedics came, realized he had been stabbed, took him to the hospital. He was unconscious and remembers hearing the doctor tell, he remembered hearing the doctor tell my grandma, "I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do." And in that unconscious state, he prayed and he said, "God, if you will bring me out of this, I will get my family in church." He wasn't a Christian at the time. He ended up waking up. And although he was paralyzed on one side, he made sure to get his family into church. That's when my dad started going, my grandma started going. And through that miracle, many of his family became pastors and missionaries. And it goes on and on and on. Just an incredible story. Why does that make me so emotional? Because if it wasn't for that moment, I wouldn't be here. Right? Many of us have situations in our life when we can think back and realize that was a turning point, that was a lane change, something caused our ancestry to change direction, or maybe just you, God spoke into your life. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family, but God directed something in your life to cause you to be where he wants you to be today. All right, so that's my grandpa's story. When I'm a kid, about 2 years old, we're going through Muskegon. If you're, I don't know if you're familiar with the Muskegon area, down 31, past Sherman, and there's a train bridge there. The train bridge is still there. My parents were following a log truck. Can you imagine what happened? They were the car right behind the log truck. The chains of the log truck hit the train bridge, broke the logs off, and they're flying over the car, under the car, over the median, but none of them hit the car. Isn't that cool? I mean, we hold on to that as a miracle of God to spare all of our lives. An amazing thing. As a teenager, I had a lot of things going on in my life, a lot of rough situations that I was struggling with. And I remember when the Lord spoke Jeremiah 29:11 to me, I was just reading. I had read the Bible many times, read through probably Jeremiah many times, but that one time when Jeremiah 29:11 stuck out to me, and we have it here, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That was a turning point in my life. That's when I realized that no matter what I was going through, no matter what challenges I faced then or into the future, that God's plan was what? To give me a future and a hope. Same for all of us, right? 2013, horrible car accident. See how I'm fast forwarding? We just went through like 4,000 years, guys. This is amazing in like 5 minutes. 2013, horrible car accident. If you don't know the story, I'll sum it up quick. I got stopped in construction by Fruitport. I had a little Bluetooth on, so I called my wife, and I said, "Kate, babe, I'm stuck in construction on the highway, so if I'm late, it's not because I'm in an accident." And looked up at the mirror, and a guy was still coming 70 miles an hour and rear-ended me. So the last thing she heard was, "Not in an accident." Ah! I mean, how great is that, right? Okay. What happened there is the company that I worked for outside of the church, I would have been in that position for the rest of my life. But God used that car accident to kind of open some new doors for me, try some new roles, and allow me to do things that I never would have thought weren't even on the radar. Okay? But God used something that the enemy meant for evil and turned it to good. And I'm so grateful for that. Now we're really fast forwarding. The last 10 months have been really kind of a in this company I work for. I have to be careful what I say because it's online too. But in the company I work for, I was asked by the CEO to be part of a special project with 9 other people. It's really an honor to have that happen. And although it was probably the most intense workload I've ever had in my life, it was so stressful. I got so weary. I got so tired. I was exhausted mentally. I was exhausted emotionally. And you're at the point sometimes, and I'm sure you've had situations like that where you're like, God, what's going on? Am I even where I'm supposed to be right now? You know, you start getting flooded with confusion. You start getting flooded with, I mean, you could be experiencing anxiety, lots of different feelings, right? A lot was taking place emotionally and physically, and I was at a point where I'm like, God, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm done, all right? And youth convention came up in November. And it was a huge deal to take the kids to youth convention. I will probably do that. It was my 27th youth convention. I'll probably do it till my 80th. Whew, that's 60 more. I don't know if I can do that. All right. And so the kids were off in a session, and I went into the youth leaders session where the guest speaker and his wife from another state, they don't know anybody here, they were doing this youth leader session with a couple hundred people in the room. And as her husband is teaching, the wife interrupts and says, honey, we need to stop. Just for a second, we just need to stop. I feel like the Holy Spirit has a message here for somebody. You've been stressed. You've been overwhelmed beyond anything you've ever experienced within the last several months. And you've been feeling this, 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 and this. And check, check, check. I'm like, holy smokes. Okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. What do you want to tell me? And she said, God is just saying, give him 6 months. Now, I'm really comfortable sharing this. I didn't even tell Kate until like 2 weeks ago, because I've been holding on to this and watching God do some incredible things. After that, I got invited to headquarters to do some things. A senior VP came out just recently and visited with me. I think I shared that a couple months ago. And started opening some doors into a new role that was so much less stress. Same job, just less stress, less pressure. And I see all these pieces start coming together, and 6 months, just about 6 months to the day, is when I submitted my resume for that job, and I was just offered the job. So, incredible, incredible miracle. And I say that not because of anything that I've done. When that VP was here, he said, Josh, you know, I don't believe that this is by accident, and this is cool to hear this from a VP. I don't believe it's by accident that I'm here. I believe this is very important, ordained by God that I'm here. And we had some really incredible conversations. So I say all that for this reason. You might be going through hills and valleys in your life. You might be at some low points, some challenging spots in your life. You might be questioning, am I in the will of God right now? You know, what is going on? You're just facing adversity after adversity, you know, confrontation or whatever it is. You're facing all of this, and it's just too much. God has a way of getting you to where he wants you to be. He has a way of directing other people's steps, right, in order to open doors for you. I am so grateful. When I think about the songs we sing, I was reminded of I Know a Name. I was reminded of Waymaker. You know, even though I don't see it, I know you're working. You know, all these things. Guys, we cannot comprehend God's wisdom. We can't see the future. We don't know what open door is going to be next. We don't know what answer is going to come if we just remain faithful and say, God, I trust you even in the midst of the storm, right? God is faithful. He's the giver of good gifts. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We're going to go through here. This is a very common verse, but just keep reading with me. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, food, okay, will give him a serpent? If then you being evil or fleshly, okay, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Incredible, right? Going back to something Pastor Wes has shared a few times too, there are bad things that happen in our life. Am I saying my life is perfect? No. Am I saying that I will never have more challenges in my life? Absolutely not. Am I saying I'll never be stressed again? No. All right? Of course not. But what I am saying is God is faithful. And God takes all those situations, the worst of the worst, and turns them around for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Isn't that cool? It's so good. This just happened. I mean, this is like fresh off the press. Okay, that's why I'm excited to share it with you, because of God's goodness. Last night, I woke up at 2 o'clock, stressed and overwhelmed, thinking about things like that I can't even control. I mean, I'm just like rolling and tossing and tossing and turning, and things that, it's not a big deal. I mean, to me, it's a big deal, but not to everybody else. But it's just, I was just immediately like, God, how's this going to work out? I don't think this is going to, I don't, you know, what, you know, how's it, what's the answer? I mean, that was my thought last night from 2 until 5 a.m. How quickly I lost sight of what God had just done in my life, saying, Josh, I've got you. I've got you. I've got things under control. You know, especially as parents, if you know what I'm saying, you can think about your kids or, you know, well, what's going to happen in their future and all that kind of stuff. God's got it. It doesn't mean that we don't need to put forth an effort, okay? We need to be faithful with what God is, responsible and good stewards with what God has entrusted to us. So we need to make an effort to raise our kids up. We need to make an effort in our job. We need to work hard. It's not just a free pass, right? Y'all with me? All right. But the worry, the anxiety, the fear, the stress, the discouragement, man, that should have no place in our life, especially if you can think back to where God has brought you from and those milestones in your life when you're like, you can say, God did this, and I know it, and nobody can tell me any different. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I'm not going to go through all these verses. But Jesus is making a point here that we get so concerned about things that, in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture, are so trivial. When God says, man, I've got the birds of the air. I've clothed the lilies of the valley. I've created homes and dens for every animal in the world. And you are my most prized possession, my most important creation. Am I not going to take care of you? You know, I mean, that's what God says here. Think about that. He has got the whole world in his hands. He's got your life in his hands. No matter what you're going through, just like I went through a lot, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God is good. I'm thankful that he's faithful. And I remembered, okay, God's word is full of examples of his love for his people, for you and me. It's full of the principles that he will not go against. It is his character. It is his heart. And the word is full of promises that he won't forget. I stood on these facts. And again, I'm grateful today that God is good and he got me to a place to where I needed to be. And he's going to do the same thing for you. This was not, I didn't plan to speak this today. Pastor Wes had just called me this morning, which, by the way, we're going to pray for him shortly, but he's got some pain in his leg that is causing him so he can't stand or walk very well. So, but he called me this morning and said, man, I'm so sorry, but this is what's happening. And I'd already been going through this morning, early this morning, so I knew this was of the Lord to give an encouragement. And I don't know who that's for, whether you're home or here. But God is big enough to handle whatever situation you're going through. Just be faithful and trust in what he says. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to be done here in just a few minutes, but I want to make sure to pray. And but I want to take time to pray for Pastor Wes. And if there's anybody in here, okay, like I said, we're not going to be long, but if there's anybody in here that you've been going through some junk in your life and it seems insurmountable, it seems like it's you're just buried under the weight of this world right now, I want to take time to pray for you as well. And, you know, if you'd stand with us, worship team, if you'd come, we're going to take that time just to pray for a minute. But it makes it a little more challenging when I'm going to get at the piano here. So prayer partners, if you'd come forward as well, all right, and pray for anybody that comes forward. But we want to agree with you in prayer that you can hold on to, if God said it, I believe it. That settles it. There's nothing that's going to change it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. God, I thank you, Lord, for the good things that you've done in all of our lives. Lord, as I was just saying, thinking about those milestones, thinking about those things that maybe, you know, were life-changing experiences in our life. Or maybe it was our parents, maybe it was our ancestors that led us to the point to where we are today. But God, we thank you for working those things out. God, we thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being good, for being true to your word. We love you, Jesus. Church, would you agree with me in prayer right now for Pastor Wes? Lord, we just ask right now that you touch Pastor Wes. Lord, that you touch his leg, that you touch every part of his body, Lord, wherever there's pain, Lord, wherever there's swelling. God, we just pray right now that that would go down. Lord, that he'd be relieved and at peace. Holy Spirit, we thank you for touching him right now in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to close with the last song we did.